How you doing, Rodrigo?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, how does Australia's voting system compare to the rest of the world?
Well, it is fundamentally different, in as you just explained, that we do have this compulsory voting in the sense that people are expected to vote, citizens are expected to vote. So voting isn't just a choice. In most advanced democracies around the world, people are invited to vote. They're free to go or not go. They're free to express their opinion by staying home and just refraining from voting altogether. And there are no consequences whatsoever to that behavior. Here in Australia, instead, if you don't vote and you don't have a good reason for not doing so, you can incur a fine. So that's a way that the government tries to make people participate and make sure that they do participate.
Absolutely. And I guess, how important do you think it is for compulsory voting how important do you think it is in terms of creating effective change in a country is compulsory voting?
Well, I don't know if compulsory voting by itself is important in creating change, but voting for sure is very important in creating change. So the only way, because we live in a representative democracy, the only way that we are actually required and asked to participate in the political life of the country as citizens is to show up to the polls and vote for the people who represent us. It's a very, very important decision. Individuals run for office with certain proposals, with certain political parties, with programs, ideas, proposed public policy they would like to implement if they get elected. And we are asked as citizens to decide whether or not we agree with those proposals. So the only way that we actually have to bring about orderly change to our society is that to expressing our opinion with the vote. Now, if most people decide not to vote and stay home, especially in countries where that is an option to a certain degree, in Australia it's not an option, but if people decide to refrain from participating in politics, the consequences can be devastating. In fact, in many countries have an active problem with people not going to vote. For example, the United States, where voting is not only voluntary, but there are also barriers to actually allowing people to go vote and express their opinion. This means that decisions are made by a minority of citizens, and the consequences can be catastrophic.
Right, of course. Yeah, no, I've read I read a lot of reports during the most recent election, the most recent like presidential election, where many states that had like a high capacity of like certain groups of people were having more trouble actually being able to vote. It's very interesting to see that. And do you think that there will ever be a shift in America in that compulsory voting will be introduced?
I think it's very unlikely, and the reason why it's very unlikely is because there is a debate among academics. There are papers that get published every year on compulsory voting that sort of like advocate for it. There are debates going on in groups of pundits, of people who are interested in the issue, but I think it is extremely unlikely that it is introduced anytime soon. And the reason for that is because the only way to introduce a provision like this is through law. And the problem is that most people elected in the American Congress are currently being elected given the current legislation. So let's just think about it. If you are able to win an election that has a very low turnout, and just to give an example, maybe the listeners are not familiar with numbers of turnout in the United States, but typically in a midterm election, you are talking about 30% of the population showing up and voting. So 70% stay home, 30% show up and make the decision. In a two-party system, you need about 15% of the vote at this stage to win an election, if you even need that much. So you're talking about, 10-15% of the population deciding for everybody else who is going to govern them. Now, if you as a politician are able to win an election leveraging on these numbers, you have no idea what would happen if the entire population showed up to vote. And you have very little incentive to do so. So even though scholars talk about compulsory voting, even though pundits discuss and argue, I don't think there's going to be political will anytime soon. What they should do instead, which would not be too hard, is to make it easier for people to vote. Because remember, it's not only the fact that they don't have to show up in the polls, it's also the fact that there are impediments. For example, they vote on a Tuesday. It's not a public holiday. People don't have to get paid if they take time off to go vote. They have to register months in advance in some states. So all of these things make it even less likely that people go vote. And in a system such the one that they have there, you're literally talking about handing over the most important decisions, arguably, that a citizen can make in a democracy to a handful of people.
Yeah, wow. God, see, there seems to be like this, because like 30%, that's not a lot of people if you take into account that 70% aren't voting.
It isn't. And in fact, for example, if you start looking at turnout in primary elections, it is even less than that. So I was asked during the primary campaigns last time around, when Donald Trump started to get some momentum and start to win contests up and down, I was asked by a news agency to sort of like explain a little bit and talk about some numbers. So in a two-party system, there are two political parties. If you're running a primary and you have a number of people running, you even need lower levels of vote to get elected. So if you actually look in the field, that there's like five or six candidates, and they're going to have primaries soon, starting in November this year for the next presidential election, which is November next year. You're talking about literally probably 5 or 10% of the population deciding on one candidate that then will be one of two choices for the office of president. So you're literally talking about a very small number, a very small group of very active individuals making a decision that then is essentially imposed to the entire population in terms of, do you want this person or this other person to become president? So it's there is this appearance of a lot of democracy, because they choose the candidates that are going to run, then they vote for the candidate who is actually taking office, et cetera, et cetera. But at the end of the day, because the process is flawed, you're talking about very little participation in making the important decisions. We don't really have much of this problem in Australia through compulsory voting, among other things.
Yeah, right. Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Rodrigo.
Thank you for having me.